Good morning. Happy Easter. You know, it's kind of interesting because most of us who subscribe to the Western calendar celebrated Easter last weekend. And, you know, coming into this weekend where the whole of Bucharest is in an Easter mood, the stores are closed, the streets are empty. I was trying to do some shopping on Friday because somebody called me and said, you better do shopping now because over the weekend, every place will be closed, you know. And I went there and I saw people buying meat and food and, you know, I was like, my goodness. I thought these things only happen in Africa. But it's just good to know that, you know, everywhere you go, you know, there is culture that goes, you know, with seasons. And you know, throughout the week, you know, and even in discussion with Pastor Darrell, you know, just trying to see where we are at with the book of 1 Corinthians. But, you know, interestingly enough, from last night, I was just uncomfortable, you know, going over my notes and, you know, trying to pray, but it just seemed out of place, you know. And I woke up this morning and as we were driving on the streets of Bucharest and it was so clear. You know, I mean, you could actually swing across the lanes and all that. And then I came into the sanctuary this morning, and the candles were there. Thank you for putting on the lights, because you'd have only been hearing voices. But you know, everything is about Easter. The worship, you know, Pastor Christie is all dressed up. I wouldn't want to swim against the grain, you know, and do something that is not in the mood of the moment. And so this morning, by the grace of God, I want us just to think about Easter. Because it's not about a day, it's not about a date, it's all about the event that took place, or the events that took place. Why do we celebrate Easter? Back to manual. So it's all about the day, it's all about the things that took place. Why do we celebrate Easter? What is it all about? And this morning, by the grace of God, in the few minutes that we have, I just share something that the Lord laid on my heart. And I want us just to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, from verse 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, from verse 1. The Bible says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stood down and looked in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples came to the tomb, first went in also and saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he might rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that, Lord, you will speak to us as we take time to remember this great victory that, Lord, you did on our behalf. May you stir our hearts to love you more. Lord, that as we celebrate this season, it may not just be about eat and drink and the good weather and all that, but it shall be a time to celebrate the great victory that you give to us over death. We worship you and give you thanks, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember sometime I like to watch movies with my kids, and there was one of those movies that we watched. I don't remember the title, but I remember that it was about these superheroes who were, you know, trying to change the world, and, you know, see, there was a problem with the season or something. I mean, I was watching it with my kids, so I was in between the movie and all that. But the major stars in that movie was the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, you know, and all these other mystical beings that have been, you know, that are associated with seasons of the year. And, you know, this weekend, I was looking over the internet, you know, looking for images that I would use, you know, just to make a backdrop and send to some friends. And so I put, as usual, on the search engine on Google, and I said, you know, Easter, you know, an Easter message. And they brought all these images, and all of them had to do with the bunnies and colored eggs and all that. And I searched hundreds and hundreds of them, and it was difficult to come across any image that spoke of Easter the way I know it. And so as time changes, as people change, I have discovered that Christ is no longer the center of the activities, even in our own lives. During Christmas, it is no longer the baby in a manger, but it's all about Santa. You come to Easter, it's no longer about the risen Savior. It's about the Easter Bunny and the colored eggs. What is this world coming into? And the question that I asked myself, where are the Christians? Are there no Christians who post pictures of the risen Savior on the internet so that we can have Easter messages passing across? But I realize that we are getting sucked into a gradual system that has been thought out and has been worked out to push Christ out of the scene and to bring things that we easily identify with. And one of the things that we do not realize is the impact that it will have on our children and the generations that come after us. You know, the Bible says of the book of, I don't remember exactly what it is, but it says, you know, it is actually in the book of Samuel when, you know, Eli was there with the baby Samuel, and Samuel was hearing the voice, a voice calling him, Samuel, Samuel. And the Bible says that in those days, the word of God was rare. And so Samuel could not identify that God was calling him or speaking to him in the house of the priest. Eli being the priest of Israel, but even in his house, there was no teaching on the word of God. And slowly we are bringing up a generation of children who know Santa and the Easter Bunny much more than they know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We had a big debate in my house because my son was pushing us, you know, to call somebody to find out. There was supposed to be an egg something in some park yesterday. And he kept on calling, you know, find out where it is because we need to go for that egg hunt or something, you know, for Easter. And you know, we had to sit down and tell him that is not what Easter is all about. It's not about the eggs. It's not about all those things. But it's about Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And because he lives, we have hope for a brighter future. Praise the Lord. Easter is not just about the eating. It's not about the drinking. It's not about the bunnies. It's not about the eggs. But there is a bigger picture. And so this morning I want to just share 3 points or 3 things that Easter is about. Number one, Easter is about the King on a cross. The King on a cross. Brothers and sisters, the person who was on that cross was no ordinary man. Many times, you know, we see the pictures of the crucifix and we see a man in a napkin and he's put there and people carry a cross on the neck and put it on displays all over there and it seems like it was an ordinary man that was on the cross. It was the King on a cross. And they knew it, even though they wanted to make fun of it. And so they made for him a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they wrote on his cross, King of the Jews. They did not do that because they were worshiping him for his place, but they did that because they were mocking him. But the reality was that he was the King of Kings that was on the cross. You know, in the Western calendar, we celebrate Good Friday. Like in my country, Kenya, Friday is a public holiday, you know. And growing up as a child, I heard of Good Friday, you know. And when I learned the story, I asked myself, you know, why Good Friday? Why call it Good Friday? What was good about that Friday? And I remember one time, I don't know whether it was just zeal of being a pastor or just excitement, you know, when my daughter was a little bit young, actually much young, and I was sitting with her and, you know, I was teaching her how to pray. I think it was just pastoral excitement because she was very young. And, you know, so I was teaching her how to worship, and I would say this after me, you know, Lord Jesus, I love you. And she would say, Lord Jesus, I love you. And I say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. And she would say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for loving me. And she would say, thank you for loving me. And then I said, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And she went quiet. And I repeated, thank you for dying on the cross for me. And she went quiet. So I kind of peeped up with one eye to see if everything was okay. Was she still with me? And I looked at her and she couldn't go beyond that point. And I asked her, you know, do you have a problem? Say after me. And she looked at me with beautiful, innocent eyes and she asked, Daddy, is it good to die? You know? And then I realized that I was being overexcited, you know, and taking her way beyond what she was ready to deal with. But the question is, what was good about that Friday? One man sang, you know, of the events that took place and, you know, in a story form. And he says he was walking up with his sons to Jerusalem. And, you know, with the little lamb, they were all prepared for sacrifice. And everybody was in the streets of Jerusalem walking to go and make the sacrifice. But as they were walking, all of a sudden, there was a lot of noise in the city. And they stopped to look up to see what was going on. And they saw a man who had been beat up so bad and, you know, there was blood pouring all over him and the whole streets were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And as he got closer to try and get a glimpse, he saw who the man was and it was Jesus. And he asked himself, why would they crucify such a man? This man has healed their sick. This man has raised their dead. This man has fed their hungry. He has done such great and marvelous things. Why put this man on the cross? And he said to his son, you know, watch the lamb, because they were walking with the lamb and preparing it for sacrifice. And as they got into the city, you know, he says the soldier came to him and forced him to carry the cross. And he says as he was carrying the cross, you know, the blood of Jesus falling upon him, it's a whole new meaning when you put yourself in the situation. I like to read the Bible sometimes with my imagination, not just reading the words, but putting myself right into the scene to try and understand what could have been going on. And so they took the King of Kings, you know, a man that was without sin, a man who was so pure, so filled with love, who had provided for their needs, who had prayed for their sick, who had done such amazing things in their midst, and they took him and they humiliated him. And brothers and sisters, the napkin that you see on the cross, on the crucifix, was just for decency's sake. They humiliated the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They stripped him bare naked and made fun of him. And that's why the Bible says he went onto that cross to take our shame. He took our shame and went with it on the cross. The Bible says, cursed is the man that hangs on a tree. And when they put Jesus Christ on that tree, he took our curse. Praise be to God. It is not a Good Friday simply because Jesus died or because an innocent person died. It became Good Friday because of the things that were done on my behalf. I deserve to be on the cross. I am the liar. I am the thief. I am the murderer. I am the one that is filled with filth and a kindness. I deserve to be on that cross. We need to understand that when you're talking about a king, kings are people of privilege. Kings are people of privilege. Have you ever understood why in many parts of the world when somebody is elected president, he never wants to leave? You know, in Kenya, we had this man who was a prime minister, or he was the leader of the opposition some years back. And, you know, because of the way the opposition politicians are treated, you know, police would arrest him, you know, for no reason. You know, they would arrest him, putting him in detention. When he organizes for a rally, you know, police would come and hit people with batons and all that. But when he became prime minister, it was amazing. I was sitting in a barber shop, you know, having a haircut. And he happened to come into the city where we were just after his appointment into being prime minister. And all of a sudden, the guy who was doing my hair ran out and left me with my hair half done. And there was a lot of commotion. And when I asked what was happening, you know, I went out and there were policemen lining up on the streets and it was raining heavily. You know, and I was told the prime minister is in town. And I asked, has he arrived? No. In fact, it was his empty car that was going to the airport to pick him. But policemen who used to beat him with batons and tear gas him were now standing in the rain saluting his empty car as it goes into the airport. That's what leadership does. Now you imagine a king. How possible is it that a king would leave his glory in heaven to come and be stripped naked, to be humiliated, to die on the cross? It is because of his love for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, when you look at the image of Jesus on the cross, let it not just be a crucifix. Let it bring the reality of the fact that I should have been on that cross and that a man left his glory. God, the person who died on that cross was God. He died on the cross on my behalf. He took my shame. He took my humiliation. Praise be to God. That is what Easter is all about. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the cross. And even though we try to substitute him with the Easter bunny, if you read that story and see the chaos that happened in the absence of Jesus, the moment when he died and the whole earth was filled with darkness, you know, and there was commotion, people who are dead rose up, and there was just such confusion. Those moments should tell you what life would be without Jesus, what the absence of God can cause. And so when people are trying to get him out of the picture and put the bunny, it is all but a joke. But we Christians need to reestablish this. We need to teach it to our children. As we celebrate these seasons, let us not join them in the replacement, but let us bring back that king who died on our behalf. Secondly, Easter is about an empty tomb. It's about an empty tomb. You know, all the other people who declared themselves gods and messiahs, they died. And if they are not in their graves, it's because they disintegrated and disappeared. That's the only reason why you wouldn't find them. But probably you'll still find some remains. But all their graves are there. If you want to find where Lord Buddha was buried, you'll find him. If you want to find Prophet Muhammad, they will show you that this is the place where he was buried. The only person who is Messiah, whose grave is empty, is that grave of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. He is alive. He died and he rose again. He died and he rose again. We are not talking about, you know, just anybody. We are talking about somebody who has power over death. Let me tell you, if you want to know. You know, Jesus was such a powerful man. Don't ever think for 1 minute that they arrested him. They didn't. They didn't arrest Jesus. They want to encourage themselves to believe that they did it. They didn't. Remember when they went into the garden and they asked, who is Jesus? And he said, I am. They fell back. The power that was on him was beyond what a human being could be able to deal with. Jesus surrendered himself into their hands. Jesus would have just disappeared. you know, and avoid going to the cross, you know. But he went to the cross because he knew he has power over death. He had a reason to go on that cross. He had a purpose. That is what he lived for. He lived simply to go on that cross and to die. And he went in his death, you know, to conquer the grave. And we sang it this morning. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered death. Oh, death, where is your sting? You know, and he went into the underparts of the world and did the final battle with Satan to redeem us and to take us out of imprisonment that Satan had put us on. He did not go into that grave because he was helpless. He did not die because there was nothing he could do. He did it for a specific purpose. Because death came to us by one man. And by one man, he defeated death so that we may have eternal life. I am not afraid of death because I know it is not my final destination. Praise be to God. Because Jesus has risen. They went into his tomb and they found it empty. He was not there. As Pastor Christie said, they did not roll the stone away because he couldn't come out without the stone being rolled away. But it was for our eyes to be able to see that the tomb was empty. In the Gospel of Matthew, they actually said that they tried to bribe the guards who were there to pass word around that the disciples came to steal the body. You know, they knew the truth, but wanted to live in denial. Jesus is no longer the king on a cross. Jesus is not a body in the tomb. He is alive. He is risen. He is seated at the right hand side of God the Father. He is victorious. And because he lives, we have become more than conquerors. Brothers and sisters, Christianity is not a religion for sorry people. It's a religion, or it's a relationship of victory. You know, these terrorists went and bombed Christians in Kenya, shot them. They have thrown bombs in Sunday schools, classes, and all that. And last Sunday, I told you that we were waiting to see the impact of what it would be in the church and all that. And you know, after that, they sent a message which was displayed on Reuters that we will paint the streets of Kenya red with blood of Christians. The church was filled to capacity. In every city in Kenya last Sunday, they said people thronged houses of worship because we are not threatened and intimidated by simple things. We are serving a king who is alive. Somebody said, you know, why is it that because there's a lady who was praying and saying, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me, when the terrorists were trying to kill her. And they said, why didn't Jesus save her? You know, we do not answer these things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus could have saved them from the lake of fire, but instead he chose to be with them in the fire. Because God can either rescue us out of the fire or rescue us in the fire. Whichever way he does it, these people said, we will not bow down. Our God can save us. But even if he doesn't, it does not diminish him. He still remains God. We will not bow down to any other. Brothers and sisters, we are serving a risen Savior. We are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One who has overcome death. He is alive. He is seated in the heavenly places and he says, behold, I have gone to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, you too may be with us. I have suffered things in this world. I have suffered humiliation. I have suffered hunger. I face death each and every day, sickness and disease. Brothers and sisters, this world is not my destiny. I can't wait for the day when the trumpet of God shall sound and we shall all be raised up and we shall join with him in the air. This is the reason for Christianity. No other religion can give you that guarantee. Praise be to God. It is worth it being a Christian. Finally, Easter is about the king on a throne. He restored his glory. He put aside only but for a moment the glories of heaven to come and suffer humiliation, only that he may go back to his own glory. The Bible says that even after he rose from the dead, as Peter went into the grave, you know, my wife is a theologian and she was educating me on these things. And you know, she asked me this question, you know, why is it that the handkerchief that was put around Jesus was folded, you know, in the grave? And I told her, well, I don't know. Maybe they just had time to fold that one and ignore the rest. And she says, no. And she told me, you know, in Jewish culture, when an important person was being served a meal, they would be given a handkerchief, you know, to wipe their hands and all that. If the handkerchief was crumbled and put on the table, then it meant the guest has finished with his meal. But if the handkerchief was folded, it meant the job is not done. He will still eat again. So don't take off, you know, the towel from the table. And she said to me, the fact that the handkerchief was folded is not just a coincidence. It has meaning. And the meaning is that Jesus is not yet done. He is coming again. Amen. Praise be to God. He is coming again. And when he is coming the second time, brothers and sisters, he is not coming as a baby in a manger. He is not coming as a human being that needs sympathy or that needs people. The Bible says that on that day when the trumpet shall sound, everybody will see him and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He is coming in his glory. He is coming in his power. Brothers and sisters, I can't wait for that day. This is why we are Christians. We're not Christians simply to bear with us a title, but we are Christians because we have been given a title and a victory that we may be partakers and rule with him and reign. This is the victory of Easter. Praise be to God. This is the victory of Christmas. As you eat your meat, as you enjoy your gratin, and I will be enjoying some gratin tomorrow with some people, don't just eat and fill your belly. But take this as a moment of reflection and ask yourself, am I worthy of the King on the cross? There's a story of a young man a small boy who was playing on the streets and he had a balloon and, you know, the balloon kind of popped up from his hands and it was roaming around and he followed it, you know, as the wind was blowing it from corner to corner and he was chasing after it, his balloon, and it got to some place and something pricked it and it burst and he lost his balloon. And he was feeling so bad and he decided to go back home, but he couldn't find his way home. He had taken so many turns, you know, and not looking where he was going, and he was lost. And evening came and it started becoming dark and he was lost and he began to cry because he couldn't find his way home. And a policeman saw him and, you know, asked him, young man, why are you crying? He says, I can't find my way home. And he asked, what's your father's name? He didn't know his father's name. What is your mother's name? He couldn't tell. Where do you stay? What is your address? He says, I can't remember. And the policeman was getting frustrated, you know, and asked him, how can I help you if you don't know anything? Do you have any telephone number? Do you know anything about your neighborhood, something that you can remember that I can take you there? And the boy looked down and sadly said no. And while the policeman was trying to figure out what to do, all of a sudden the boy's face lit up, you know, like a light bulb. And he had this big smile on his face and he says, officer, I remember something. And he says, somewhere near my home, there is a big cross up in the air. And he says, if you lead me to that cross, I will find my way home. Brothers and sisters, we live this world chasing after things that are only but for a moment and they pass away. And many times in the pursuit of these things, we lose direction and we can't find our way home. This morning, on this Resurrection Sunday, I'd like to point you to the cross of Jesus Christ. For if you find that cross, you will find your way home. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or
At one point you gave your life to him, but you walked away from him. This is an opportunity to come back to the Lord. Find that cross, and you'll find your way home. And at the end of this service, Pastor Darrell is there, Pastor Christy, myself, we're there. If you want somebody to talk to lead you back to Christ, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Make this Easter have meaning in your life. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you left your throne on high and you came and were willing to suffer the way of the cross. And so they humiliated you. They made fun of you. They mocked you. They spat on you. They whipped you. And like a sheep before his shearers, you were silent. And Lord, even though the devil thought that he had won a victory over you, little did he know that he had set you free to come and live in each and every one of our hearts. We ask that Jehovah God, if we have walked in our own ways, that you will forgive us. Lord, if we have taken lightly your death on the cross, that you will forgive us. And we open our hearts to you, Jehovah God, this Resurrection Sunday, that you may become alive in us. Resurrect in us, Jehovah God, by the power of your Spirit. Bring to life, Jehovah God, our Christianity, our love for you, our commitment to serve you, our willingness to walk with you. Bring it back to life, Jehovah God, that we may become true symbols of Christianity in the way that you desired. We love you and we honor you.